morning and welcome to Pentecost Sunday here at Lawrence Park Church, a special day in the liturgical calendar of the church. And if you're visiting this morning, we are pleased that you have chosen to worship with us, and we invite you to join us for coffee and refreshment, conversation in the gathering area following the service. We have a very full service today, but we also have some announcements, and I'd like to call upon Rosemary at this time about a special event yesterday.
Thanks.
Can you hear me? No?
Yep.
Better now? Got it. Thank you. Thanks, Eric. Did you get up yesterday morning and think what a beautiful day? Well, I don't think so. But I want you to know that 17 volunteers got up anyway, donned their duck boots and their raincoats and their parkas and their gardening gloves, and joined us here. We were so impressed. I can't thank every one of them enough. We got so much done. We had so much laughter and fun. We took pictures of our muddy knees on our blue jeans. We were covered in mud. We had soaking wet boots by the time we came home. But we got a lot of gardening done. 17 people. There are a couple of photos up there. I'll have some more up. I didn't get them all printed yet. But the willingness and the good spirit was amazing yesterday. If you look out here, on Andy James the gardener's direction, he came and joined us. The courtyard was weeded and edged and tidied. The winter litter was picked up on the property. Shrubs were dug out and moved to allow spruce trees room to breathe. There's still lots to do. Starting this week, Thursday mornings is going to be gardening morning here at Lawrence Park right through to October, every Thursday morning. And we will be here welcoming anybody who has a green thumb or just likes to be in the garden and would like to join us any Thursday, once, twice, 20 times, as many as you feel you would like to come. You're very welcome. And not only is the courtyard weeded and tidied, not the grass, look on the patio and you'll see a beautiful new bench. Two more to come, thanks to donations from three different sources in the church. They're wonderful. There's also a new patio table. When we were in the store, they offered us the table at an amazing price and didn't charge us extra for delivery if it came at the same time, so we just jumped for it. So most of it is funded. It's almost paid for. A little more help when we will have it paid for, too. I think it's going to be very popular and very useful. The funding for the landscaping is always ongoing right through the whole year, or at least until October. And so we hope to buy more stackable chairs. We'd like to do some more planting. We want to finish paying for the table. So if you would like to help, make your checks payable to Lawrence Park, as you always do, and write landscaping on the check. And it'd be helpful, too, if you could let me know your intentions so I know what we can plan and what we could purchase. So thought I would let you know that. And in the meantime, I just love the enthusiasm here for the project and the landscaping, and so appreciative of all those helpers yesterday. Thank you.
And our Syrian Refugee Committee has been working extremely hard, and Julio has an announcement to share with us. Thank you, Julio.
On behalf of the Lawrence Park Community Syrian Refugee Committee, I'd like to share with the congregation some information about our work. We are working towards sponsoring a Syrian family that is willing to escape from Syria in this time of war. At this point of time, we have already been paired with a family of six, father, mother, and four kids. The initiative has been receiving tremendous support from the congregation, translated into encouragement donations in volunteer will. We have already raised over $5,000, and the Ramat sale will add to this amount. The latest update is that our application has finally been received by the Centralized Processing Office of Canada in Winnipeg at this last week. So this is one more step towards having this family here in Canada. While we keep our efforts to expedite the process so that we can receive this family as soon as possible here in Canada, we need everyone's collaboration in one very important matter. We need to keep every information about the family strictly confidential. The congregation is always welcome to share ideas and relevant information about the crisis in Syria, but we definitely need your understanding that the committee members are not allowed to share further information about the family, where they are, what they are doing, and how they are living. This is a security concern until the family is safe in Canada. The less anybody knows about it, the better. Once again, we'd like to thank you all of the congregation for all your support, and we'll keep you updated with any news to come. Thank you very much.
And just one more thing, Romage continues to accumulate, and we will be happy to secure more for the sale on Saturday, May 28th. And in this regard, I've been asked to remind you that what we really need for the next couple of weeks are volunteers to do some sorting and categorizing of the large volume of items, and the three contacts for your donation of time are listed in the bulletin. And so, last but not least, it's my privilege to welcome our special guests who you've already heard from. We have Reverend Dr. Tim Elliott and the Brian Barlow Quartet. They have blessed our worship on several previous occasions, and I know that today will be no exception. So let's welcome our special guests. Welcome, gentlemen.
Are in a church here, so thank you. There, that sounds better, doesn't it? Okay. It's a great privilege to be here once again at Lawrence Park. You folks are amazing. Mark, your director of music, your choir, and to have worked with Eric to put this service together for Pentecost. So Brian Barlow's quartet, John Johnson saxophone, Scott Alexander on bass, Robbie Botosh on piano. I mean, this is the A-team. And I should also tell you that Brian was invited also today to put a quartet together and lead worship at Glenview Presbyterian. So another quartet is doing jazz at Glenview Presbyterian Church over on Yonge Street as we're doing jazz here today to celebrate the gifts of the Spirit. So it's a privilege to be here, and why don't we warmly welcome the musicians.
So let us enter into the spirit of worship.
Thank you.
invite you to join responsively in our opening prayer. We have come to celebrate the birthday of the Church. We have come to celebrate Pentecost and to open ourselves to God's Spirit that it may fill us this day. Let us capture the Spirit and reflect on that long ago Pentecost day by greeting each other with joy. May the presence of the Spirit be felt in our worship through word, music, and message.
Want to come up here and just sit with me for a minute, please? And we're going to stay and sit while we listen to the reading. So this is great. Thank you. Thanks, John. So, here we are. Okay, then I can see you, right? So, what's a library? Who wants to tell me what a library is? Yes, sir.
A library is like a place where you read books.
Yes. And what's in a library? Books. Oh, okay. Okay. So how many of you have been in a library? Wow. So I'm going to show you right now the world's smallest library. What does it say on there? Holy Bible. See, the Bible, people think this is one book, but it's actually a library. Because there are all kinds of books. And just as when you go into a library, you don't start at one end and go all the way to the end. You go where you're interested or where there might be something. Anywhere in this library, this is the world's smallest library, the Bible, there's going to be stories. And it's all about our stories, you see. People wrote stories. They told stories. They had dreams. They wrote songs and poems. It's all here in the world's littlest library. Now I'm going to ask those who are going to read for us to come forward. So can we turn around? Can we just watch while the readers, would the readers come forward? They're going to read one story in three different languages. And the congregation has this in their Sunday bulletin, the actual writing, in different languages. So let's listen to the same story. This is a story, one story, in three languages. Okay, so listen.
When the day of the Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there was a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability.
Or, il y avait un séjour à Jérusalem des Juifs, hommes pieux de toutes les nations qui sont sous le ciel. Au bruit qui est la multitude accourut et elle fut confondue parce que chacun les attendait parler dans sa propre langue. Ils étaient tous dans l'étonnement et la surprise, et ils se disaient les uns aux autres, « Voici les gens qui parlent. Ne sont-ils pas tous galiléens? Et comment les entendons-nous dans notre propre langue à chacun, dans notre langue maternelle? » Résidents de plusieurs pays et régions, et ceux qui sont venus de Rome, juifs et prosélytes, comment les entendons-nous parler dans notre langue des merveilles de Dieu? Ils étaient tous dans l'étonnement, et ne sachant que penser, ils se disaient les uns aux autres, que veut dire ceci? Mais d'autres se moquaient. Ils se disaient, ils sont pleins de vin doux.
A pregação de Pedro. Então Pedro levantou-se com os onze e, em voz alta, dirigiu-se à multidão. Homens da Judeia e de todos os que vivem em Jerusalém, deixe-me explicar-lhes isto. Ouçam com atenção. Estes homens não estão bêbados, como vocês supõem. Ainda são 9 horas da manhã. Ao contrário, isto é o que foi predito pelo profeta Joel. Nos últimos dias, diz Deus, derramarei do meu espírito sobre todos os povos, e os seus filhos e as suas filhas profetizarão. Os jovens terão visões e os velhos terão sonhos.
So, what we heard was one story in 3 different languages. And there are so many more languages, but when we were planning today, there wasn't time. But how many of you speak more than one language? Yeah. So maybe next year you could have other languages. But the story is all about how there were different languages, but everybody got the same message. That's what the story was about. Everybody got the same message. And it's a story from the world's smallest library. And it's a story about how God's Spirit is able to be understood by everyone in their own language. So that's the little message I'd like you to think about. And when you're on the subway this week or on the streets and you hear other languages, think, isn't that amazing? All the different languages, but the same message of love and hope and kindness for our world. Thank you very much for coming up and joining me this morning. And don't ever forget and check out the world's smallest library. Now I think it's time for you to go off to your classes. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. And now we're going to sing a song. And this is what I love about Lawrence Park. I just love coming here because you folks are so flexible. And you're up for anything. And what can possibly go wrong, right? We've got Mark, we've got the choir, we've got the quartet, we've got you, we've got the words on the slides. This is a different kind of song. It's a special arrangement. So here's what I'd like us to do. I'm in this with you. We're going to sit and listen while the choir and the quartet sing the first 2 verses of this song. Then there's going to be a little improvisation. Then I'm going to go like this. And we're all going to sing the 3rd verse because we will have listened to the first 2 verses to the musicians. And the song is called Come, Ho, Holy Spirit. So watch me. I'll do my best. We're going to sing together on verse 3, but away we go now.
Oh,
Well, let me assure you that this morning, given the presence of our special guests and our desire to hear as much as possible from them, my reflection on Pentecost will be much abbreviated. Let me say that to preach on the subject of the Holy Spirit and its coming in a few designated minutes on a Sunday morning does a great disservice to a subject that is large in content and interpretation. And so I would ask you to accept my thoughts as simply scratching the surface of a vast body of knowledge, commentary, and lived experience on what I recognize as a mysterious yet real concept. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in whatever way we attempt to define or explain it. And so here is my take. A Sunday school class was learning the Apostles' Creed. With a view to memorization and later presentation in the worship service on Pentecost Sunday. Each child around the table was assigned a phrase from the Creed to speak aloud. One Sunday, the pastor was asked to visit the class to see how things were coming along. The children commenced their recitation of the Creed. All went well. They spoke with conviction. I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, etc., etc. Until suddenly there was an awkward pause. You're doing fine, said the pastor, but what's wrong? Well, out of the silence came a small voice in reply. Pastor, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here today. Okay? Well, underlying these words from this young boy who responded to the pastor was an understanding that was quite profound. That is, the Holy Spirit is an indispensable gift and dynamic of the Christian life. Hence, the children's recitation that morning was incomplete in more than one way. Today, we gather to celebrate this event. The birthday of the church, the model of which we have to admit has changed dramatically over the centuries. I think it interesting to observe that in an effort to stimulate growth, some churches are promoting small group ministry, not unlike the early church. The well-known account of this event in Acts chapter 2 that we heard earlier in three languages continues to raise questions and in fact gives rise to various interpretations. We grapple with the imagery of wind and fire used by the writer to explain the otherwise indefinable experience. And yet these are powerful metaphors used throughout Scripture. The references to the large number of persons assembled speaking in other languages, sometimes referred to as other tongues, has given rise to some skepticism. Regretfully, in some charismatic circles within Christendom, it has produced another distinction between Christians, those who can speak in tongues and those who cannot, as if the latter are lesser Christians, not unlike the similar classification or labels we encounter of Christians and born-again Christians, where the latter may be led to feel more authentic and superior. Well, I do not profess to know any more than anyone else as to the happenings on that Pentecost day, but let me suggest that whatever took place caused all those present to experience the same reaction. Something happened to them that day that they could not explain, but they felt it. They felt it. Their exclamations, their sacred joy, whatever the words or sounds or languages or babble, were all reactions to that wonderful, never before experienced, indefinable moment. As such, they all understood a uniform emotion that didn't require any translation. They were truly of one accord at that precise moment. And to be of one accord was precisely Jesus' hope for us as a community of faith. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Galatia, speaks of the fruits of the Spirit, and I quote, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, this Spirit will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Yes, the Spirit-filled life is hard work and demands a high level of personal integrity. If indeed these are the ingredients of the gift of the Spirit and are practiced in our lives together, then we can indeed be of one accord. These gifts, these attributes, will always moderate where there is division, differing opinions, and tension. Yes, we can agree to disagree, but with integrity and with respect. God's Spirit has always been present in the world. The same Spirit which has been described as the Counselor, the Advocate, the Empowerer, the Enabler. It is the same Spirit which called Moses, Isaiah, and other prophets to assume unimaginable tasks. The same Spirit which was able to work within and encourage a people in bondage and in exile. The same Spirit that has called and enabled men and women in modern times to achieve for the sake and good of humankind, far beyond their imagination and understanding. The presence and work of the Spirit is manifested all around us when we are in tune with our own life experiences and those of others. How often have you said or heard others express words such as, "I just don't know how I got through it all"? Well, underlying this statement is the recognition that something beyond the scope of our personal coping or endurance has enabled the person to get through an ordeal. The statement doesn't attempt to explain or define what that something was, but at the same time, it indirectly acknowledges a resource that we have learned to identify as that of the Spirit. In our encounter with many of life's challenging circumstances, we need an extra measure of grace and strength beyond our own resources. Let me say from a personal perspective that if there is anything that convinces me of an enabling Spirit beyond my own resources, it is precisely when navigating through these otherwise overwhelming situations. This Spirit is a reality, and I believe that it resides within each one of us. Not only can we experience it ourselves, but our lives are enriched when we see it working in the lives of others. In a family coming to grips with bereavement or other kinds of loss, in the attitude of a person determined to try again following discouragement, in the courage of a person dealing with prolonged illness or infirmity, or in the smile and laughter of a critically ill child. It doesn't have to be defined. It cannot be touched or totally understood. But it is there. It is here this morning. We need not look any further or seek some deep theological explanation. The mystery remains, and you and I are part of it. Amen.
Brian and I have been here so many times with you folks and Mark and the choir, and I don't think I ever thought when I was the rector at Christ Church Deer Park, and I had a conversation with Brian Barlow about this crazy idea of jazz in the church, jazz vespers. 1999, we started the conversation, and I think we thought it was just I called it a pilot project, and we're just going to do it once, you know, try it, what a crazy idea, jazz in the church, and you're still going strong. Christ Church, Deer Park, I never thought I would be here Sunday morning in a church with this, with you folks listening, the choir, Mark, the musicians, the readers, the young people. What a gift. What a gift it is. And when I asked John Suk, your minister, what he was doing for Pentecost, was he interested? He said, well, yeah, but he was going to be away, but I could work with Eric, the cornet player, the musician, and we've had a great, great time, haven't we, on the phone, talking back and forth, putting this together for today. And what a treat it is to be here. And in a moment, we're going to hear from a member of your choir, Shannon Butcher, who's going to sing with the quartet. Because this is all about offering our gifts. This is about sharing who we are. And there's something powerfully spiritual about jazz. Let us pray. A prayer written in the darkest days of World War II by an American pastor of German descent, Dr. Reinhold Niebuhr, composed this famous prayer. O God, grant us the grace to accept with serenity the things we cannot change. Courage to change the things that ought to be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm an Anglican, you see, and for the last 14 years I've been working with people about their vocation, their calling, and I get to preach occasionally. And when I preach in the United Church, I get a phone call from the minister saying, what's the title of your sermon? So that's not something Anglicans are used to. I've got ideas, I've got stuff, but I haven't got a title. What are you going to do with a title? They want a title for the bulletin, for the slides. So I thought this was a good title. And my direction was going to be this. If we're created in the image of God, what is God? We're created in the image of God. How could I define God? First of all, where I was going was that the Spirit of God, the breath, the wind of God, hovered over the face of the water in creation. So it's going to talk about us as breath and spirit. In the image of God, we're breath and spirit. But that was not really connecting with real life. I mean, breath and spirit is important. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. To breathe is to live. Then this is what came to me as I paid attention. What is God? God is more than breath and energy. God is more than breath and spirit. God is energy. So that's where I ended up. So I want to talk about that for a minute. Energy. My dictionary defines it as the strength and vitality required for sustained physical or mental activity. Strength and vitality. So if God is energy, and we're created in the image of energy, then we, of course, are energetic people. We have energy. We have vitality. We have strength to do things. And strength to think about things and make a difference. I mention this because today we celebrate Pentecost. It's so wonderful that everybody that could wore red, because it's about the Spirit and it's about the energy that God gives us through the Holy Spirit, as Eric so excellently mentioned. And so Peter, in the story we heard in Acts, talks about how he takes what's going on with God and connects it to the present moment. And this is the 50th day of Easter. And this is the ongoing story of our energy as God's people were created in the image of God. So, for example, I don't know if you know the writings of Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R, Franciscan. He's written a book called Falling Upward. It's about the first half of life and the second half of life. First half of life is creating the container, all the external things, our life, our career, our family, our home, our money. Second half of life is what's in the container. That's the spiritual quest of the second half of life, the spirit of what's in the container. And we spend most of our energy outside. The second half of life is about spending the energy inside. We're in a profoundly spiritual moment in our world where the call is to kindness and compassion and respect and tolerance and understanding. And those are spiritual gifts, as Eric mentioned. And so the reason I like jazz so much is because it's about energy. It's about energy. It's about focused energy. These guys are listening to each other. You can see that. I mean, one of the great gifts of jazz in the church is you're not sitting at a bar with a drink. You're here listening to these incredible musicians create something with energy. You can see the focused energy. You can hear the energy. And when they collaborate with the choir, there's this energy. And what you see you don't understand is that you are giving energy to them by the very act of listening. We're created in the image of energy. And the choice and the call is always how we use our energy. A woman came up to me after I'd done a jazz service with Brian, and she said, she came up to me later and said, I've been trying to figure out what it is about jazz. What it is about jazz. She said, I like opera, I like classical, I like the symphony, I like show tunes and musicals. But she said, here's what came to me. Jazz is about surprise. Surprise. You guys, you can see the smiles, right? There's some. This is about surprise. Because they've got to pay attention together and listen together in collective energy. And it's all about jazz and surprise. And the other day I was reading a book that said the way to understand God is surprise. You see, it's all about, we're created in the image of energy for connection and possibilities. So that's my one sentence theme today. We're created in the image of energy for connection and possibilities. So this week, look at your energy. What gives you energy and what takes energy? There's the chores and the business of living. We all have to deal with life and stuff. It takes energy. But what gives you energy? What feeds your energy? Where do you want to focus your energy? And in the second half of life, we have to choose. The first half of life, we're generalists. In the second half of life, we narrow it down to that call that is particular. So I left parish ministry 14 years ago because I wanted to focus on this connection between vocation and improvisation and the call and where they come together. What gives you energy? Pay attention this week. You know that the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, en theos, in God. What is it to be alive in the Spirit? What do you need to give energy and permission to yourself to express, which is what jazz is all about? And take time to breathe and to listen. Take time to breathe and to listen, because we're created in the image of energy for the purpose of connection and possibility. And in the words of the great song that I keep quoting from, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return. You're loved by the energy that comes through the Spirit.
Without a song that day will never end, without a song.
invite you to join with me in a responsive Pentecost prayer.
Spirit of joy, come like the wind swirling among us, fill us with enthusiasm, and energize us to do your work and your will.
Thank you,
Father.
For the Spirit of joy.
Spirit of truth, come as the flame of Christ's light among us, illuminating our hearts, our minds, and our lives.
Thank you, God, for the Spirit of truth.
Spirit of life, come as the breath of life, pouring energy and power into our dry bones, rekindling all who are weary, that they may have life and know God.
Thank you, God, for the Spirit of life.
Spirit of hope, come from the four winds, O breath, O restless searcher. Breathe upon your people that creation may be renewed with hope.
Thank you, God,
for the Spirit of hope. Spirit of love, come as our comforter and consoler, that all who are broken or wounded may be healed, that all who grieve may be consoled by the power of your love and grace. Thank you, God. To the Spirit of love. Spirit of wisdom, come as the light of understanding, that diversity in all its forms may be respected and may be understood as gifts to cherish. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of peace, come as the wind of truth, that our hearts may be kindled by the passion for justice and peace. Thank you, God. For the Spirit of peace. As we celebrate the birthday of the Church on this day of Pentecost, may we, Jesus' followers, in this time and place, use these gifts and all the gifts of the Spirit to reach out to a world in need. I now invite you to spend a moment in silent prayer as we in some way identify with the needs of our world and our community, especially remembering the citizens of Fort McMurray who have lost their homes and possessions and who seek refuge. The increasing number of regions in the world where there is war, unrest, terrorism, and danger. For all oppressed people who live in fear and uncertainty, and those of our community who are ill, have been bereaved, and those with personal concerns or concerns for their loved ones. God, hear our prayers. Amen. I'm aware that we're going a little over time, but this has been an incredible opportunity for us to share with Tim and Brian and these tremendous musicians. So thank you. We will now receive the offering. The first offering, our focus for May, our first offering is for the life and work of this, our congregation. And the second, our focus for May, the second collection, is for the Christian Resource Center, 40 Oaks.
Spirit, move in my heart. I am afraid. Just as I try, my heart feels the Spirit.
Just before the benediction and our closing hymn, I'm sure you would wish to join with me in saying thank you to Tim, to Brian, members of the quartet, Shannon, Alistair, Mark, the choir. Just thank you for a wonderful morning. If you agree with my sentiments, let's show our appreciation. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. God's love extends beyond what we can fathom. God's compassion knows no bounds. Led by the Spirit and with these understandings, we go out into a hurting world to bring peace and justice in all that we do. Amen. Tim, did you wish to say something?
The final hymn, verses 1 and 2, then be seated for the last time just to hear these musicians improvise on this great tune, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Then we'll rise and sing verses 3 and 4. Breathe on me, breath of God.